Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Christian disciplines, giving. In this session, we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15, sacrificial grace giving. Sacrifice must be an active principle in the life of a believer. Look at Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. If you go to the right, then I will go to the left." Focus in on verse 6 for a moment, because it presents the problem. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. That's the problem. It was so many. Their flocks had grown so big that they just couldn't be together anymore. There had to be something done. That's the problem. And then look at verse 9, which is the solution. "Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. We can't be together anymore. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. If you go to the right, then I will go to the left." Abraham allowed Lot to make the decision that would affect his own life. Lot was going to make a decision that would affect Abraham's life and livelihood. How could he do that? Well, it was because his security was in God and not in earthly possessions. Look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you.'" That obedience was preparation for another event. That obedience was preparation for Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 8. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' And then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.' So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' And then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And so the two of them went together. Listen, God calls us to give what is most valuable to us. Abraham understood sacrificial giving in faith, or what we call grace giving. Grace giving means responding to God's grace by giving beyond the tithe, giving that exceeds the requirement. Have you ever heard tithing is an Old Testament concept? The New Testament teaches grace giving. Well, that is a true statement. But Pastor, didn't you say the tithe wasn't done away with? Well, that's right. In fact, you cannot be a grace giver unless you are first a tither, bringing the whole tithe to your local church. The requirement of grace always exceeds what is the requirement of the law. Why? Because the requirement of the law is a legal obligation, the very minimum, while the requirement of grace is a love response, which is generous. Grace giving in the history of God's people, they tithed, but there was a free will offering, Deuteronomy 16:10. There was a tabernacle offering in Exodus 36, verses 3 and 7. And there was an offering for the poor, Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10. And Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. And there was a temple offering, 1 Chronicles 29, verses 6 through 9. And Ezra chapter 2, verses 68 and 69. Grace giving has been practiced throughout the centuries. Grace giving in the life of the Son of God? Well, Mark chapter 12, this well-known story in verses 41 to 44. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. Many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Jesus taught grace giving. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Jesus experienced grace giving. Mark chapter 14, verses 3, 6, and 9. Jesus demonstrated grace giving in Romans chapter 5, verse 15. We live under grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We should always go beyond the standard. Jesus Christ is the most powerful example of grace giving. Grace giving in the experience of the church of Jesus Christ. It was the ministry of the church. Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. And it was the missions by the church. Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Then there was grace giving in the writings of the Apostle Paul. By his teaching. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, 2 Corinthians 8, 7, and his pattern in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. The riches of Jesus, well, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses first part of verse 9. The response of Jesus, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse the second part of verse 9. The results of Jesus, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, The third part of verse 9, we are saved only because Jesus is a grace giver. The tithe is obedience of giving. Grace giving is generosity. Did you hear me? Let me say that again. The tithe is obedience of giving. Grace giving is its generosity. Remember the four revelations of tithing from Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. Tithing reveals a proper view of God, a conversion experience, a trust in God, and a commitment to ministry. Okay, that's the background. Now the lesson. Four principles of becoming a grace giver from our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 15. First, the principle of prediction. Look at verse 6. But I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Predictable results follow the practice of grace giving. Miserly giving brings miserly results, and generous giving, generous results. A farmer must plant appropriately to gain the desired return. Then second, the principle of provision, verses 8 and 9. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. This is a promise that we cannot outgive God. He provides it so that we can give. Never believe that you cannot afford to give. Never believe that. Never believe that you cannot afford to give. Look at Jesus' principle of sacrificing resources in John chapter 12, verse 24 and 25. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, but he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. A harvest only comes through sacrifice, death to self. The third is the principle of prosperity, verses 10 and 11. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you've sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Our return from God is more seed that we may give more. God's giving is not to make us wealthy, but to make us more generous. If you're hoarding God's prosperity, you don't understand. It's not ours. God gave it to us for his purposes. We are vessels of Jesus Christ's ministry to others. We are conduit pipes. We're not standing buckets. And then fourth, the principle of profit, verses 12 to 15. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The needs of God's people are met through grace giving. It has been correctly noted that if all Christians gave according to God's instructions, the church would have more money than it could spend. What an impact for Christ we would make if we had that commitment. Obediently give the whole tithe of all your increase and generously give as God leads and gives. What is our profit? The evidence of the sincerity of our faith, a testimony of our relationship to God. These principles should motivate grace giving. But what about the process? Notice verse 7. It's simple and practical. Individually, sincerely, enthusiastically, and cheerfully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Giving may not increase your bank account in this life, but it will produce eternal benefits. You give some thought to all that, serious thought, and you have a great day.